Good morning.
Good morning.
We're on part two of last week. There will probably be a couple more after this. If you remember last week, we talked about the entire gist of this teaching is about authority. But authority works hand in hand with two other things, and that is accountability and action, right? How can you be accountable without an authority over your life? And what are you accountable for? Now, I'm not up here telling you what is happening. I'm up here telling you what should happen, okay? With accountability, too, what are you accountable for? Our actions, right? What we say, what we do, but also what we don't do and what we don't say, we're accountable for. We're accountable for everything to somebody. We're all accountable to somebody, so get that out of your mind. There is no such thing as a lone wolf. I'm not accountable to anybody. You explain that to the police officer that stops you for speeding, that you're not accountable to him, all right? As he pulls you out of the car and introduces you to Mr. Billy Club, right? Well, I don't think we can do that anymore. It's not politically correct. I'm sorry. Lord have mercy. I had that done many a times, yes. Yeah, that might explain why I act like this. I don't know, but it was the best thing. You respected authority. And we talked, too, last week on authority. There's two different kinds. Like we used an example of a police officer just now. You don't have to give him authority for him to have authority over your life. Someone with a higher authority put him there. Now, there are people like our pastors that we give them the authority over our life, right? But we talked about those two different types of accountability last week, and we kind of ended with the last part of speaking about the church and how authority works in the church between the different ministries, different leaders, and so forth. There's always an accountability. Even if you're not doing anything in the church but coming here on Sunday and sitting down, you have some accountability to the church. If you're a member, you have an accountability. Even if you're not and you just come occasionally, when you come here, you're accountable for the way you act while you're here. You can't come in here dressed any way you want. Showing.
I cannot say a word.
You can't come in here dressed any way you want. We've had people come in here inappropriately dressed, and we've asked them to leave, right?
Right.
So they were under authority, whether they knew it or not. By inappropriate, I mean some of these people, it was inappropriate to even be out on the street the way they were dressed, let alone in the church. Just a simple show of respect, right? I know that the word says we're going to stand naked in front of God, but you don't have to start on Sunday morning. Wait till you die, okay? We don't need to see that. So that's what that person was accountable for, their actions, their decisions, what they did. And all the authority within the church, we said, always goes back. Everyone in the church is under authority. Pastor John is the head over this church. He's under authority. And that is what? The authority. Who initiated the church? Christ, right? He is under the authority. He is the ultimate authority within the church and within practically everything. And I say practically, tongue in cheek. You know what he's not in charge of? Is there something that God is not in charge of? What you don't give him. God could make every knee bow, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Just a thought of it. But he wants willing hearts. So what you don't give him, he's not going to forcefully take, right? There, again, is the accountability of turning this over to God. But believe me, whether or not you turn it over to God, yes, you do. But again, we talked about last week about the authority, and I used two scriptures, Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. And in Hebrews 13, verse 7, I just read that one, didn't I? Okay. Remember, those who are in charge, those who are in authority were put there through God. No other reason. We don't have a vote around here. Pastor Don wasn't voted in because he sure isn't Miss Congeniality, is he? You know why he's here? Because God placed him here. He has that authority from God. When you're listening to the pastor, you're not listening to Pastor Don, you're listening to God. He is accountable for everything that he says and does to you, not what you say and do. Thank God, yeah. Because like I said, I learned a long time ago that if somebody comes and asks you for directions, 50% of them will take it. If you just give somebody directions, it's a big zero usually on what they'll do with it. There again is the authority within the church. You have to give it to somebody. And I've given that authority in my life, right? There's a lot of people here that speak to me and I definitely listen to, right? It's because I've given them authority. I've watched their lives. They have a lot of sense. Even Sarge sitting there, he throws out these words of wisdom I listen to all the time, right? It's a man that's been around. And he's still here, so he's doing something right, isn't he?
Now, purpose for
yep. Yes. Mr. Question Man. But today I thought we would take a look at the ultimate authority, which is, of course, God, right? Jesus Christ is in charge of the church. He's the head of the church. He has all authority. Correct?
Correct.
He does? Where did he get his authority? Let's read. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." Oh, they went nuts. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." He was followed by two sets of people, those that loved him and wanted to hear his words, and those that hated him and wanted to take those words and twist it around. In everybody's life, you're going to have two sets of people like that as well. So you got to be able to distinguish one from the other. The one you take advice from, the one you don't, right? Do you think he took advice from the teachers of the law? Do you think they took advice from him?
No.
Most cases, no. There was a few exceptions, but very, very few, right? Verse 4, knowing their thoughts. Wow. God knows our thoughts. Stop and think about that. That's scary, isn't it? So we'll take it one step further this morning. I said accountability, you're accountable for your actions. That's under the law. Under the new covenant, you're actually accountable for your thoughts. Now, I'm not saying that every thought is ours. The enemy will put thoughts in your head, right? I mean, that happens all the time. They're not yours. You don't have to accept them. But if you accept them, play with them, roll them around inside that empty head of ours, right? That's sin. Something pops in completely stupid. Whoa, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that happens to me every time. I have a thought, it's stupid. Some worse than others. We need to be careful, right? To being tempted is not a sin. Christ was tempted. The enemy is always going to throw something in there to tempt you. If you take it and you play with it, that's sin. If you just say, "Oh, forgive me, name of Jesus, get out of here," and go on, you're doing fine. That's not a sin. But we're even accountable for our thoughts, because you're never going to have an action without thinking about it first. Right? Action, reaction. Every sin that you have ever did took a whole chain of events to bring to fruition, didn't it? Absolutely. I always use the analogy. Oh, man. Somebody comes to me and says, "Brother, forgive me. I fell into sin. I got drunk last night." How do you fall into sin? Were you in an airplane? Fell out of the airplane, fell through the roof of that bar, fell on the stool, and when you hit that stool, the jarring of the bar, threw a beer in your hand and went like that. That's falling into sin. I don't think you fell into sin. You drove there. You got dressed. I mean, over and over, those were conscious thoughts that you made. So the thought is very, very important, because that's where everything thought starts, is in our thoughts. Knowing their, verse 4 again, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Just what I was saying. Again, quite often we hear hearts. Remember, he's not talking about this organ right in here, right? Your heart doesn't think. If all this was based on your heart, if somebody got a heart transplant, they would be a nice person, right? If Hitler had had a heart attack and he got a new heart, you know, there wouldn't have been a World War II, right? No. It's honestly right up here. It's the thought. It's the soul of a person. It's who they are. Which is easier, Christ said, saying your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up and take your mat. Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority, they thought, to a man. Right? So again, the authority in Christ, he was from God. God gave him the authority, is what he's saying here. Do you ever notice that even though Jesus was fully God, he still would not make a move because he was still part man? And that part is sinful, right? Because look at us. We are sinful, right? We're all man, not just part, we're all. So we need to be careful. But even Jesus, before he would do anything, through the authority, he was trying to show us there's an authority with everything. He went to the Father for direction. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? Nobody is ever going to complain to you about praying. Like I've often said, I've been to a lot of graveyards. I've never seen one that says, here lies Fred. He died from too much prayer. Plenty of people have died from a lot of things, but not from too much prayer, correct? But don't spend all day praying. You've got to get out and do it. We'll talk about prayer another day. Would you turn with me to Matthew 10, starting at verse 1? Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He gave them the authority. Could he do that unless he had the authority? Right? You got to be careful when somebody says, that's okay, go ahead and do it. We've often heard that, right? Oh, don't worry about that stop sign, run it. There ain't no police out this time of night. Who give him that authority? Nobody. If you have authority, it comes from somewhere. Everybody, except it stops at God, right? He has all authority because he created everything. You have authority over that if you created it. I don't think anybody would argue that, right? Is there anybody here God didn't create? Good. I was worried there for a minute. But he gave them authority to do what? Drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You know, when they went out, these towns that they were accepted in, there were some towns they were not accepted in. They never went in and tried to do anything. They just went on. That town was cursed. But the towns that allowed them in, the people that allowed them to pray for them, every one of them were healed. We often read that. Jesus leaves someplace and they don't say a lot were healed, many. Only a couple occasions does that happen. In most cases, it said all were healed, right? Because he has all authority. Again, authority. We have to give him that authority in some cases because he decided that's the way it should be. He's not making every knee bow. But he does have the authority to give us a choice, right? That police officer can't make you do anything, but if you do something wrong, there's a punishment, that ticket. Same way with God. You don't have to follow him. All you have to do is go to hell. How many people here have cried about how much a speeding ticket costs? You're going to cry a lot more if you go to hell, aren't you? So we need to take that authority very, very carefully, because Christ has full authority. If you give him authority over your life, it's not piecemeal, right? Well, Mr. Police Officer, I give you authority in this city. That's how police are. Unless, right? If you're a policeman and you see a crime going down and you're in another city, do you think they're going to say, well, I'm from Dearborn, I ain't going to stop a crime in Melvindale? Would you not expect them to do that? Right? They have that authority. Again, who does that come from? Authority is a good thing. The only people that worry about authority are those that are doing something wrong. I remember a couple weeks ago, I think I said this. Remember the old days when we were driving dirty? I think that's a term the kids use it today. Driving dirty, okay. All right, I'm getting close, you know. Give me a break, you know. When I was a kid, I drove a donkey, okay? Simply means that you had some type of illegal substance in your car or in you. In most cases, it was both in my case, right? So what happens anytime you'd be driving along, listening to the radio, you'd see a police car. Hit your brakes first thing. Please look for brake lights. Come on, they're not dumb, right, Pastor? And you don't look side to side, 10 and 2. We do. Out of reflex, don't we, sometimes, right? I'll catch myself all the time doing, looking back. How often when we pass a cop, we're trying to pretend, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm a good Christian. The only thing I'm packing is a Bible, the Word of God. But we're still looking at rear view. See, is he pulling out? We do that. Again, because we know that he has the authority, whether we give it to him or not, right? But what Christ wants is us to give him that authority. Correct? We don't want carrot dangling in front of us and also punishment, right? That's not what it's all about. You turn your life over to God, everything he wants for you is good. There's nothing that you went on in your life that isn't good. Yeah, you heard me. What went on in your life that God wasn't in control of? Nothing. Would God do anything that wasn't good? Sometimes we wonder why, because we don't know. We do not know. I've often used this story of a young man we had in the church, O'Loughlin. He passed away at, I think he was 8, wasn't he, Pastor, or 9? Something like that, when he passed away with cancer. But that young man just had a spirit about him that he was out and about, had hockey teams coming over, was able to witness to more people than most of us will in our entire life. So why is it terrible he died at 8? His mission one is accomplished. Don't be afraid of death. Every one of us is going to die. Our job is to make sure it's at the right time, of course, and that's not going to happen. If you jump off a building, yeah, come in. Even Christ was tempted with that. Well, jump off this cliff. What did he say? Uh-uh. We have to use some sense in this, too. But remember, the authority that we give is given back. When we put somebody in authority, he now is our protector that I spoke about Sunday morning a couple weeks ago, right? He's got your back. That is the main thing. But here it says that he can only do that if he does have the authority. We have to consider three things. Is Christ who he said he is? He could have just been a lunatic. He could have been a liar. Or he's the Messiah, right? Everyone sitting here, I'm sure we've already made that choice, haven't we? Second thing. Does he have the authority to do what he promises? I can promise you anything. Fred, you want to go to the moon? I can help you.
You want to go to the moon?
Yeah. I have the authority to be able to send you to the moon. I don't think so. Oh, Betty back there, the honeymooners. You're going to the moon, Alice. I'm going to send you to the moon. Betty, most people don't even know who that is. All right. And the third thing is that we have to know that he will do it. Because you have the authority, the power, and strength to do something doesn't mean you will. But if Christ says he's going to do it, he is. Correct? We have to remember those three things. So here, he had the authority from God to give that authority to his disciples. Because you remember, all authority was given to him, is what we're taking a look at. He had all authority, and he could give that authority. When he was taken up in the clouds, when he went back to heaven, what happened? He said, I give you all authority. If he didn't have the authority, could he give it away? No. We have to remember, though, he did have the authority. In John chapter 5, verse 27. What was that? Right. Now, hold on. Are you acting up back there, Christy? I have the authority to throw you out of here. Oh, just blame Betty. Okay, the nicest lady in the church. Yeah, it's all Betty's fault. All right, turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 27. And he has given him, meaning Christ, authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Son of Man is a title of deity, right? He is God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He has the authority because God has given it to him. John 7, verse 28. John 7:28. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. Again, that authority is coming from God. He has all authority, correct? Anything Christ says he can do, he can do. The world doesn't believe that, but we most certainly do. How many, don't even raise your hands, how many people here have seen miracles? The impossible happen. Many times. Right? He has all authority to do anything he wants. You don't have the authority to tell him what to do. A lot of people take their faith to an extreme and think, wow, as long as I have faith, I can call and ask for anything I want. If that was true, Cadillac Motor Car Company would be working overtime because everybody would have a Cadillac in their driveway. Do you want a Cadillac?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted us to pray with you. Yes, ma'am. Who's got the mic? Hold on. Young man, don't fall asleep on me back there. Thought you were going to skate. That's not going to happen. Thank you.
I'm just thinking this through as you're speaking. So you said, did you say that all the people that are have authority over us, God put them there?
Hold on to the mic. That is a very, very good question. Very good question. That was going to be for another teaching, but I'll answer that question.
Okay.
Turn with me. Give him the mic back. Thank you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Amazing how you come up with these great questions.
Coincidence.
Listen, coincidence.
No, no. No.
That's exactly right. Now turn with me to Romans 13, starting at verse 1, and read along with me. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Is there someone here that's not everyone? Okay. For there is no authority except that which God has established. Plain and simple. The authorities exist have been established by God. Amen. Consequently, whoever rules against it, rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Does that answer your question?
No.
All right, but now, wait. Now for the amendment to that.
Yes.
There is one exception, and that exception is if it goes against the Word of God. In Romans 13 was actually written under Nero's rule when this was written. Nero was a great ruler at that time. He was very friendly to the Christians at the beginning of his rule. He went nuts at the end and was looking for a scapegoat and made the Christians that. But the Word says what? No, if nothing, we sit here so often and say nothing happens by accident. There's nothing that God isn't in control of, right? But yet, we say, well, why did you put that person as a leader? Why did you do that? Don't we? God, I could have put a better person in there. You might have. How many knows the entire world situation forever? Oh, okay. God does. Remember the one story in Kings? I think it was a Persian king was standing at the gates of Jerusalem and telling him to surrender. And he listed an entire litany of places, cities, and territories that he had conquered that were twice as strong as them. He said, you cannot stop me. Many have tried, but none will ever do it. And right about then, God said, look, dummy. The only reason any of these things happen is because I give you the power and the authority to be my instrument of justice to my people. They needed a spanking. I give only let you do that because of my will and authority in their life, right? There is no one that's in authority that God has not put there. They deserve respect. Anybody that's president of the United States should be shown respect for that. If you're in the military, and the commander-in-chief, whether you voted for him or not, comes by. What do you do, Sergeant? You, of course. Anybody that has, if you're in the Army, I was so low in the Marine Corps, I saluted everybody. I if it was moving, I saluted it just to be sure, because everything outranked me, so I didn't care. Just to be careful. See, I wasn't a sergeant like you.
The authority, I said, when they slapped them stripes on my shoulder, on my arm player, where, you know, you got authority, it's just like, you have, authority is one thing, but you have to have respect. Because I had authority of a rifle squad. My job was to keep them safe, you know, bring them
home
alive.
Right.
But like I say, but you have to earn their respect. I would never tell a soldier to do something I couldn't do or wouldn't do. But I say, as a Christian, we're authority for good. You know, we have to accept the example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God said, gave us authority, so we have to set the example. You know, okay, you know, well, I don't want you to stop, you do this, stop, you know. Well, you do it. Well, no, that doesn't matter, but God wants you to do this. But, you know, when you have any type of authority, even a police officer, you know, he has authority, but it also respect is a good thing that goes with it.
I like this. I seen this on Facebook the other day. I forgot where it come from or something.
You're on Facebook
now? No, but I look at it. So I know what all of you are saying and doing, okay? They had an article about some judges, several judges that would refuse to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or for the national anthem being sung, right? But they demanded you to stand up when they walked into court. Just like Sarge said, what respect do I have for them? None. But I'm going to stand because of respect for the office. You're respecting the office of a judge, not a man, right? There are some pastors that I have met that I have not the greatest love for or fondness, but I respect their office and authority of who they are, correct? I am not questioning why God put them there, right? If they ask something or say something, as long as it's not going against the Word of God, fine, I got you. No problem. But that's where we need to draw the line. Does that answer your question? Alma. Not the way you wanted to hear it, but you know what? That's God's Word, isn't it? You want easy? Give her the microphone.
No. Way to look at it. I mean,
no,
yeah.
It's not. This was written 2,000 years ago.
I'm not saying that the word isn't. No, I'm saying for me. So yeah. I struggle with my boss because I felt she was put there and she's not a good boss, but I need to respect her and honor her,
yes.
Just like you're saying. I mean,
yes.
And that's hard to do sometimes when you see people put in those roles.
Absolutely. But I am sure. Alma. Again, that's a judgmental call, but you're probably right. I'm sure that some people might say the same about you that work for you.
No one works for me.
Anybody that's in a position that have people working for them, I've had as many as 37, 40 people working for me. Did they all like me? No, don't be ridiculous. I'm lucky to get 40 members of the church here to like me, right?
I was just going to say the same thing.
Go ahead.
You know, even though you, like you said, you're put there by God, and, you know, everybody doesn't even like God, so.
Absolutely.
Why would they
Good
like
point.
Me? You know what I mean?
Good
so,
point.
Sometimes you have to make decisions that other people don't understand, and so that's why they question what you're doing sometimes, but my confidence is in God, not, you know, it's like being a father, you know, you don't tell your kids exactly why you're doing the things you are because they're not going to understand. So, you know, you just have to take it on the chin that, hey, I'm doing it out of the right reasons, and they'll know someday that that's why I did it.
We have to remember that everything that's going on, God's in control of it. You know, we like to judge things that God does. Well, God, this is a good thing. God, that's a bad thing. This one's iffy. Who are we to judge? We can't even handle our own lives, but yet we're going to tell a God that has to have the entire world, the entire universe in his hand making decisions from the beginning of the time to the end of time, and there is no end to time. But yet, a little person, a little ant like us that can't even handle our own lives want to tell God what is good and what is bad. Word said God is not going to do anything that's bad, right? There is no bad in him. We just have trouble accepting that. I mean, we have trouble accepting if he asks us to do a simple thing like go talk to that person. What? Well, I don't know that person. Well, I want you to go witness to him. I ain't going to go over there. They might not like me. I might look foolish. Now, how often have I said how foolish I looked the days before I was saved? I didn't mind getting drunk, falling on the floor occasionally, running a few people over. What the heck, you know? Act like a fool. There's my witness. Again, I didn't care then, but now all of a sudden I'm too holy to look bad. No. The only time you're going to look foolish is if you don't do what God asks you. That is foolish. Who cares if you look foolish to somebody? God asks you to do something, you do it. He has the power and authority to give you the ability to do that. I've told you so often, God asked me to do something. I don't know how to do it. I pray. I say, God, I don't know how to do this. You're going to have to make a way. And not once has he not did that. It's to a point now he tells me, well, I got a word for that person. Go talk to him. I don't even know what it is till I get over there and my mouth opens. Now, that's taking it on faith, isn't it? Sometimes might I look foolish? Sure. A lot of times I have to the person I was talking to, but not to God. The only thing you're answerable for is what you did, not the outcome. Over here, young man. We'll end with this question.
God won't make us bow down to him, but he has ways to cause us to want to bow down to him. I remember the first time Obama was elected. During the election, you know, we were still in the Old Testament on Thursdays and a lot of stuff going around and things being said. And I remember praying for the election, and God told me, they want a king, I'll give them a king, and look at the great job he did.
Yeah, there are times that we think, wow, you're being sarcastic, but there was quite a few of us in the Christian community that said, oh my gosh, Obama's in charge. Everything is going to fall apart. I didn't take that because I lived through Clinton. Hold on. I even go further back. I lived through Jimmy Carter.
I remember Jimmy Carter.
That's because you're old. Right? Was there a reason that any of those men were where they were at? Yes, because God put them there for a reason. We may never know the reason. God doesn't have to tell you the reason. Do you reason with your kids? Would you go do that? Well, Dad, you're going to have to explain to me and give me a good reason for going to do that. No. Yeah, I'll give you a good reason. I'll bust your butt. Get over there. But you're not going to always explain, right? That's part of being an authority. If you're under authority to somebody, you don't always ask them to explain. Quite often, the pastor asked me to do something that I did not understand. I went and did it, but I come without questioning. But I've come back later and said, I don't understand that. They happily explained it to me. Then it made sense. At the time, it didn't. I could have easily said, oh, I'm not going to, that don't make any sense. Since when do I make sense? Right? All right, let's end here. This isn't the end of this teaching. There's probably 3, 4, 5, and 6 coming along, right, on this, because it's such an important matter down the line, correct? I think, Brian, you're up next week, aren't you? Stand up. Wave to everybody. Give him the Miss America wave. All right. You're tired of me. We got our top hitter up here. Brian's up next week. What are you going to speak about? No, don't tell us. I want to be surprised. I want to be surprised. Shh. They don't remember? All right. Brian, with young man. Mike to Brian. Close us in prayer, please. There's prayer down front. Anybody wants to be a part of it, come on down and pray.
No, next week is, you talked about, you don't want to talk about prayer. That's what I'm talking about next week. And you mentioned something about miracles. That's going to be in there too. So just a coincidence. So just to pump you up, think about some miracles in your own lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Lord, we just praise you, God. We thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for mothers, all the mothers here, Lord. Pray a blessing upon them and our own moms, Lord. And just ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, Lord. And thank you for Bob and that teaching. And let us bring it to our remembrance when we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.